Senate will come to order. Reading, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Friday, February 11th. Barnard.
Excused.
Bebout. Burns. Case. Christensen. Coe. Cooper. Dockstader. Driscoll. Emmerich. Esquivel. Geis. Hastert. Hicks. Hines. Jennings. Johnson. Landon. Martin. Meyer. Nicholas. Nutting. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Rothfuss. Schiffer. Scott. Von Flatern. President Anderson.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Swear by Father Cronkleton.
And let us pray. Creator of the universe, when you made the heavens and the earth, you created us in your own image and likeness and gave us dominion over all you had made, thus making us co-creators with you. Then on the last day you rested. Lord God, we've been busy about our work this week of creating and crafting legislation. We have experienced some joys and disappointments in what has passed or failed to do so. But we have worked for what each of us has believed to be in the best interest of the people of our state. Be with us this last work day of this week and help us to be productive. Guide our committee work and the work in this chamber and bless us with your good judgment. When this day is done, give us a restful weekend so that we may begin next week rejuvenated. For those of us on the road, grant us safe travel. And for those of us separated from family and friends, please watch over our loved ones in our absence. And Lord, today we celebrate the arts and how they add to the beauty of our existence and help us to understand ourselves more fully. There is that ancient aphorism, those who sing well pray twice. Even if singing is a challenge for us, let us have a song in our heart as we move through this day so that we may be reminded of your presence and assistance in each and every moment. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 10th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Ron Malm, and Dr. Malm is from Cheyenne. Our nurse for the day is Betsy Hartman, and Betsy is from Cheyenne, and thank you for being here today. Have several things in regard to our history lesson of the morning. This is on this day in Wyoming history. In 1917, Commissioner of Labor was authorized by the legislature. And on this day in U.S. history, in 1752, through the efforts of Benjamin Franklin, the first Pennsylvania hospital was opened, and it was the very first hospital in America. And a kind of an interesting note, this history is not too old, but on February 12th in 2010, not long ago, it is called a very rare occurrence by a meteorologist, said that snow in all 50 states, record Dallas snowfall, the Florida Panhandle, and snow at the summits of Hawaii. With that, members of the Senate, after reaching the crossover period this week, we have a wonderful treat for you. this morning to help celebrate this legislative milestone. Stephen Schrepferman is joining us on behalf of the Wyoming Arts Alliance to introduce a special group of students that are here to entertain us in the conjunction of the Arts Advocacy Day. So please help me in welcoming Mr. Schrepferman to the chamber.
Mr. President, Senators, thank you. Good morning. I am Steve Schrepferman, and on behalf of the Wyoming Arts Alliance, I have the honor and privilege to be the announcer for this Arts Advocacy Day. And to bring to your attention a couple of items. First, the Wyoming Arts Alliance is hosting a barbecue box lunch for all legislators and staff in the Hirschler Tunnel from 12 noon to 1:30. I hope you will join us there. Also, a reminder that tonight at 6 p.m. in the Little America Ballroom is the Governor's 29th Governor's Arts Award dinner and ceremony. Finally, as a special arts performance for today, I am delighted to introduce the Sheridan College Chamber Choir. The choir is made up of 12 singers from Montana and Wyoming. These students come with varying educational majors, criminal justice, engineering, elementary education, psychology, theater, mathematics, and music education. The Sheridan College Chamber Choir is under the direction of Gene Sager, with Loretta Tonick on piano. This morning they will be performing The Awakening, words and music by Joseph M. Martin. This musical selection asks the question, what would the world be like without music? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today and helping us to remind us how important music is in our world. We appreciate you taking the time to visit the Wyoming Senate and wish you continued luck in your academic endeavors. And again, thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, over in the North Gallery up here to my right, we have with us today the Skills USA State Officer Team from Douglas, Cheyenne, Lyman, and Gillette. And then would you give them a warm welcome to the Wyoming Senate?
And you are indeed welcome, and we hope that you enjoy your time here with us. Our first concurrences. Senator Case, are you ready with message number 284?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay. Go ahead, Senator Case.
Have to read it in. 1 second here.
Would the reading clerk please read the message in?
February the 10th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message number 284, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 23, mail ballot elections. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. President.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Case.
To vote aye. Mr. President, the other body did indeed tinker with this bill of might, and I want to be very direct. They took out an amendment that was offered on the floor. I believe it was by one of the fine senators from Natrona County. We had a discussion, if you remember, about voter fraud and other issues with respect to mail ballot elections. And an amendment that had been offered in this body, which would have been on your engrossed bill, page 6, lines 1 through 12. I will read it or get you to the direct of it. Was adding a new subsection, and it says, if any special mail ballot packet mailed under paragraph such and such of this section to a physical address is returned by the Postal Service, the clerk shall investigate the validity of the address, and it goes on that if it's not a habitable location, that they would remove the person from the voter rolls. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, Mr. President. It's a little bit more lengthy than that. If you recall, that was an amendment offered in this body. It was it wasn't a unanimous amendment, and I think in looking at it, really the amendment hasn't added anything to what the clerks do, and so I think probably what was done in the other body returns the bill to how it was and doesn't do any harm. So I would ask for your favorable consideration to this concurrence.
Thank you. Senator Case, the motion is that the Senate do concur. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, it was a bad bill to start with. The House made it worse by taking on, it wasn't my amendment that they took out. It was somebody else's. It was a good amendment and they took it out. We ought to vote no.
Other discussion? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. What he said.
Other discussion? Seeing none, the motion is that Senate do concur on Senate File 23. You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard excused. Bebout. Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines, Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer, Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Platern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Coe,
aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Cooper, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused.
Vote closed. The vote is closed. Let me call this vote. By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 23. I think I'll wait to appoint that conference committee after I talk with those that are involved. So we have failed to concur on Senate File 23. Our next concurrence, Senator Burns, are you ready for message number 290?
I am, Mr. President, but I believe another senator asked for privilege of the floor.
Yes, we'll go to Senator Escobar if you'd like, and then we'll come back to you, Senator Burns.
Students from Pioneer Park here in Cheyenne attending these proceedings. Mrs. Kinister and Mr. Woodard and the fifth grade class from Pioneer Park are up here in the front, so if you would join me in welcoming these future voters. Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome, students. Senator Burns, are you ready for message number 290?
Mr. President, I am now prepared.
Would the reading clerk please read in this message?
February the 10th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 290. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 12, excused 3. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move message 290, Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, and ask that the body vote aye. Mr. President, as you recall, this is the Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, or as we fondly refer to it, FIFI. What the way this bill left the Senate was it repealed the sunset date on the legislation. There was some concern expressed on this floor over the idea of doing that. Well, apparently that same concern prevailed over at the other end of the Capitol, and they put a sunset date on it 5 years hence, 2016. I figure that actually what that does is I think that addresses the concerns that were expressed on this floor, and half a loaf's better than none, so I ask the body to vote for concurrence on this bill.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 41, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard, excused. Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 41. We are going to go into the first signing of our enrolled acts. Normally that is further down in our daily agenda, but given the fact it's maybe not our most desirable time to work on the afternoon, without objection, I'm going to move the signing of enrolled acts up into the agenda. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, it's so ordered, we will then go on with the signing of enrolled acts. We are at that order of business for signing of enrolled acts. Original Senate File 2, Enrolled Act number one. Reading clerk will read that, please.
Original Senate File 2. No, let's start over. Senate Enrolled Act number 1, being Original Senate File 2.
Senate Enrolled Act number 1 being the original, Senate File number 2, an act. I'm about to sign Senate House Enrolled Act number 1 being the original, Senate File number 2. I have so signed. You want that? Senate Enrolled Act number 2, original Senate File number 11.
Senate Enrolled Act number 2, being original Senate File 11.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 2, originally Senate File number 11. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 3, original Senate File number 22.
Senate Enrolled Act number 3, being original Senate File 22.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 3, Senate File number 22. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 4, original Senate File 28.
Senate Enrolled Act number 4, being original Senate File 28.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 4, original Senate File 28. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 5, original Senate File 31.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 5, being original Senate File 31.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 5, original Senate File 31. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 6, original Senate File 32.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 6 being original Senate File 32.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 6, original Senate File 32. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 7, original Senate File Number 110.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 7, being original Senate File 110.
Enrolled Act Number 7, original Senate File 110. I'm about to sign. Have so signed. House bills on first reading. House Bill 256, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 256, Wyoming Safe Homes Act 2, an act relating to domestic and sexual violence, sponsored by Representative Kraft. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 33, noes 26, excused 1.
House Bill 256 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports from standing committees.
February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 159, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins, Senator Perkins, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 174, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, and Hicks. No, Senator Geis. Excuse, Senator Bebout. Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 158, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins. Senator Perkins, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 157, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins. Excuse, Senator Burns, Senator Perkins, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 193, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Martin, Nutting, Schiffer, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 184, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Martin, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senator Schiffer, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 39, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Nutting, and Scott. Noes, Senator Martin and Schiffer, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 129, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 139, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 223, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Emmerich, Geisen, Hicks. No, Senator Driscoll, excuse, Senator Bebout, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 202, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geisen, Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 7, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 135, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geisen, Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 230, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geisen, Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 11th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 151, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geisen, Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Senator Scott. Mr. President, House Bill 39, Health Litigation Fund, sponsored by the Joint Labor Committee, that was just read in, has an appropriation in it, and I would ask it be re-referred to Committee Number 2, pursuant to Senate rules.
Request is that House Bill 39 be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Are there any objections? Seeing none, that so ordered. Bills on second reading. House Bill 2, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 2, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Sunset, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion on House Bill 2? House Bill 2 having been read two separate times, the question is,
Shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 4, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 4, Department of Insurance Background Check, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
There are no amendments. Discussion? House Bill 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 76, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 76, Game and Fish, Turkey Pioneer Licenses, sponsored by Representative Ken Escobel.
Any discussion? House Bill 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 105, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I respectfully ask that House Bill 105 be laid back on second reading for one day to provide opportunity to work on the bill. We're waiting for some input also from the military department.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 105 has been laid back until second reading on Monday. House Bill 133, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 133, Special Limited Fishing Permits, sponsored by Representative Childers.
No amendments. Any discussion? House Bill 133, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. House Bill 156, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 156, Grand Teton National Park Transfer of State Land, sponsored by Representative Petroff.
There are a number of amendments, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read in the First Amendment at this time.
House Bill 156, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 23.
Senator Bebout, would you like to move this amendment and speak to it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 156. Members of the Senate, I bring this amendment to you to clarify some language and give some other options to our 5 elected officials in dealing with these parcels of land within Teton County. And if you look at the first part of the amendment, Mr. President, starting on lines 2 and going through 13, what we essentially say there, we're ratifying the agreement has been signed on December 16, 2010. But we go further on to say that the parcels shall be sold for the proved cash value as determined by the Board of Land Commissioners, but not less than the cash value stated in Section 2. So if for some reason this becomes more valuable and they want to get more money for it, we ought to give them that right to do it. And the deletion of that on line 15 for page 2, line 24, and then on page 3, line 1, just is consistent to make that amendment work in the bill. Mr. President, the rest of the amendment, starting on line 23, section 2, we had testimony in the Ag Committee that our 5 elected officials made a good attempt to try to, in fact, get mineral rights or mineral royalties, other things for this exchange or sale of land, and were not successful. And I, for one, think, you know, I'd much rather have an ongoing cash flow revenue stream to the state that ultimately would be worth a lot more money than cash may be today. And all we do, Mr. President, with this Section 2 is say if that should happen, not sure that will or won't, that they can proceed to that. But if they decide to do that, any alternative method of payment other than cash shall require legislative approval. So if they decided to go down that road, it looks encouraging and makes sense for Wyoming and everyone else included, they can do that, but they got to come back to this body for approval. And, Mr. President, the last part of that Section 3 strictly says that it's only good until January 5th, 2016, when the agreement that we've signed, that's a year after the last payment, would be made. I would ask for your support.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I support this, but what I have a question about is now the money, the sale money, would go into the common schools.
public land account or whatever we call it. But if they traded for minerals, do we then tag those minerals that have to go there? I'm not sure. I've never have seen that happen.
Other questions of the sponsor, Senator Nicholas, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm for the amendment. With respect to the Section 2 that exists, what we've really said there is if you want to explore an alternative, an exchange, you have to come back to the legislature for ratification. It's appropriate if it turns out, for example, the United States can't create the cash necessary to consummate the agreement, and they would like to look at exchanging property, then they'd have to come back. Since it's Common School Land Fund, it's for the schools, it would be an exchange. If you're purchasing minerals, the minerals would be owned by the in trust for the schools. It would be treated like all other property. But more importantly, since there are so many variety of exchanges that could take place, I think our view was if that happens, if that becomes a necessary backup, then we want to take a look at it because we're interested in knowing what that exchange is. We've been told, at least this morning I spoke with the director of the SLIB board, and he advises they did explore this. The United States simply wasn't interested in it. And it gets complicated because if for example, you want to trade federal mineral royalties, we wouldn't want to give credit for the 49-50% that we're now receiving. They would want 100% credit for all of the value of every ton of coal mined, for example, and without giving recognition that we receive some of the royalties on that. So it's unlikely, it appears, that that would happen. With respect to the first lines 1 through 12, we simply make sure that the agreement that's been signed, we approve it under those conditions. If you want to, if the sale price goes up and the state chooses to pull the trigger to ask for another appraisal, these appraisals are $50,000 to $75,000. So if you want to do that, that's okay, but we're not authorizing a sale below the price that's stated in paragraph 2. So that is the minimum price. And folks, one of the things, you know, I did have an opportunity to look at the appraisal this morning. It's an expensive appraisal. It looks appropriate. It's a recent one of June of this year. I confirm the values are those that are in the agreement, and it's appropriate, but in terms of philosophy, if we're going to take land and exchange it for cash, this is the importance of having an investment policy and the spending policy reserve account that you see with the Common School Permanent Land Fund. And the reason why that's important is because it puts cash above and beyond the spending policy back into the corpus so that corpus is inflation-proofed. If there was no inflation-proof, proofing of the corpus, then why would we ever want to go to cash because the cash depreciates? But in this instance, we do have a spending policy. The money goes into the corpus and invested wisely, it will grow in time, much as the land did. I urge your support.
Thank you. Other discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, it's a friendly amendment. I think it strengthens the bill as proposed.
Any other discussion or questions of the sponsor before he rises? Question being called. Second reading amendment number 1, House Bill 156. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. It takes us to the second amendment. Ask that the reading clerk read that in at this time.
House Bill 156, second reading amendment number 2, delete the Bebout second reading amendment.
Senator Meyer, would you like to move and address the amendment, please?
Mr. President, yes, I will move this amendment. Mr. President, I think that if this amendment does pass, we can go back in on third reading and get the intent of the Bebout Nicholas amendment to put into the intent of this amendment. And so what I'd like to look at is just basically talking about the intent of what we're trying to do here and vote on that. And if it does pass, then I'll get with the sponsors of the previous amendment and make sure that the conditions that they set forth in those would match up and be uniform in this amendment. Mr. President, what we're doing here is basically going into and making a modified bidding process. It's almost exactly the way that we do our leases on our ranches now and our farms. It's more or less a right of first refusal. We set forth the minimums on the second page, and that's exactly the same as what it was discussed in the VBAT amendment, so there's no change in there. We do go over, and let me kind of explain the process of what we're trying to do here. We say that once the funds are available, and that would be more or less like the process that we have of AMLs, whether they're obligated or available, that the state has a reasonable expectation that, that they do exist and they are going to be forthcoming, and that is in lines 20, making funds available for the purchase of the parcel specified. After that occurs, Mr. President, there's a 30-day closed bidding process. And that's when anybody can come in and say, well, I'd like that piece of ground, and we're going to give more for that ground than what the government will. And so we'll have a greater benefit to the children, which is what the state trust lands are about. And then after that process is closed after 30 days, the bids are opened up. The board looks at them. And this could be on line 34. There is a shall there that says the Board of Land Commissioner shall. And there may be some discussions as to whether that should be a may. And it says accept the highest bid for each parcel, provided the United States Interior shall have the option to purchase the parcel at an amount that exceeds the highest bid. And so if the United States wants that piece of ground, they can come in and say, ah, here's another buck, and we'll take it. You know, I'm not an expert as far as appraisal, but I do know that looking at some of these parcels, just looking at it, if they were going to be used for what may be considered the highest and best use and the greatest return to the children under the Common School Land Trust Fund, that perhaps a closed bidding process like this may actually determine that. There's no loss to us because the prices are a guaranteed minimum. But if someone wants to say the highest and best use for a section of ground is to split that 640 into 64 different parcels and sell them for $10 million a piece or $5 million a piece or even $1 million a piece, and it nets back more to the trust fund for the school, then that's something that really we are bound by the Constitution as far as the intent to make sure that we do the best we can for our kids. Now, whether or not this might say to the federal government, well, the deal is off the table. We're not saying the deal is off the table. We're just saying that we have a constitutional duty in our state constitution to do the bidding process. And again, this is the same process that we use currently for our farm leases and for our ranch leases, more or less. It's a right of first refusal. And that process has been time-tested. It's been through the courts. We know that it is a constitutional process, and I think that's what we need to look at in this particular case, and in all cases where we exchange land, or whether we try to make sure that we have the most money we can back to our school foundation program. Now, some people might say the highest and best use for this property is basically open spaces. And fair enough, Mr. President, if it is the best use for this property is open spaces, then there are organizations out in our country that can say, yeah, we want to make
time sure
that we'll put our bid in the process also.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, may members of the Senate, rising on and against the amendment as proposed. And while I appreciate the intent and the spirit with which this amendment is being brought forward, there are some things that I think we need to consider. As the good senator from Laramie talked about looking at the appraisal this morning. I, too, had the opportunity to look at that appraisal and take a look at it. And without going into detail, I'd share with you that I think that appraisal was exceedingly fair to the site of the state. The comparables were used. I'm not going to go too far. Give me the eye. The comparables were taken from the boom. The prices that helped establish this appraisal and this value, we probably couldn't have come up with better numbers to look at that weren't just excessive, but were really fair to the state. And so I think that appraisal first is very, very valid and very favorable. In the amendment, if you go down to line, the amendment is proposed down to line 35, It says in mid-sentence, provided that the United States of the Interior shall have an option to purchase any parcel for the amount which exceeds the highest bid received under the closed bidding process. That in itself creates an interesting situation when you think about free market auctions and bidders and good faith. But you also need to consider that public auction, while it has been considered, it essentially eliminates the Department of Interior because they're not authorized to participate in public auctions. And so the very wording of that, I think, creates a struggle. Allowing a third party to outbid the federal government after they've performed under this contract that's been agreed on, pending our approval, violates the agreement that's been reached within or with the Department of Interior. If the intent is to not sell the land as this bill proposes, then let's deal with that in the third reading and vote it up or down. But I'd suggest that this amendment essentially breaks that contract and puts that whole agreement at risk and does the same thing. So rather than do it in a roundabout fashion, let's ask the question in the third reading and reject this amendment.
Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Along those same lines, standing against it, it eliminates all the work that has been done to reach this point where we are, where we can bring this funding into the schools. And it puts us back almost to square one. I would stand against this amendment because it eliminates a lot of work that brought us to this point.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, what the amendment proposes is that we terminate the contract because ultimately, and we reject the contract, the only way that this provision could be implemented is by going back to the United States and saying we want to change the terms of the contract. And if you're sitting in the United States, you're not going to be a buyer under these terms. Nobody goes out and says, look, I'm gonna pay you the appraised value, but I'm gonna give you the opportunity to get more than the appraised value. Buyers don't do that. Buyers simply aren't going to play on those terms and conditions. There's no provision that takes all of their bargaining power. Now, when you take a look at the appraisal, as I did this morning, what you see is that the appraisal is based upon development value. And that's a pretty good deal for property that's likely never to be developed. And what it allows the state of Wyoming to do is to get a development value out of these parcels. And then from the public purpose side, the state of Wyoming continues to get the benefit of open space. And that, I submit to you, is important to us as well. If you look at our tourism value and the significance of this area and what it means to our state, you certainly don't want to have a bunch of condominiums there, and you don't want to have a casino there. You don't want to have things that would detract from the value to us of having this our first national park adulterated, if you will, with commercial development. So we have a strong public interest to keep this property open, and it's not very often that you get the opportunity to sell the property for its commercial value, knowing that the purchaser has no intention of ever developing the property. But the purchaser has already told us the terms and conditions upon which they're going to purchase the property. And these are not the terms and conditions. And if you're going to terminate the contract, fair enough, don't sell it. But it's a good deal it's always a good deal for the state in this instance to get our commercial value out of this property, knowing that it's also in the best interest of the state of Wyoming that the park remain in its present condition. I'd urge that you vote no on the amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be short. I just think our colleague back here in the back row did a good job of looking at the Constitution and giving us a path to make this a constitutional bill. I would ask you to support the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, yeas and nays, please.
Yeas and nays being called. Any response, Senator Meyer?
Yes, just briefly, Mr. President. The good senator from Albany County spoke of this is the best thing for Wyoming. And that really isn't the question. The question is it the best thing for the school children of Wyoming? That's the question that's in the Constitution. There was some discussion about whether or not ongoing, I think, is whether this would be a good deal and whether we should have development. Frankly, if the development occurs, there's going to be an ongoing tax stream going to the school children in Wyoming and going to Wyoming. I guess, and as far as determining the process, this is the process. This is the legislative approval of this contract. And this is when we look at the terms of the contract and when we make a determination whether or not we feel that the terms of this contract are within our Constitution. Now, we've had some Attorney General's opinion, and frankly, that's an opinion of another attorney. We've got lots of attorneys on this floor, and I think many of them, if not all of them, may agree with the Attorney General on this one. However, you have to look at it and, I think, read the Constitution in your own simple words in which they exist. And this gives us an opportunity to say to the federal government is that these are the terms and conditions of the contract. And it's a slight modification. If indeed these appraisals are extremely high and the price of ground is low, we will not exercise this piece of the contract whatsoever. If that is the truth of the matter, then everything will go on about exactly the way the contract is, and no one will even show up to bid, and we can move forward. So, Mr. President, I think it's a reasonable compromise. It's the same ones that we use for our farm and ranch leases, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Question before us is in regard to second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 156, yeas and nays being requested. Chief Clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Barnard excused. Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Christensen? No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Pastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Bonflaturn?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 5 ayes, 24 noes, 1 excused.
That amendment has failed. We are now back on the bill. Is there any further discussion in regard to the bill? Seeing none, House Bill 156 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 177, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 177, Vietnam and Veterans Welcome Home and Thank You Day, sponsored by Representative Yagi.
There are no amendments. Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 177, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list? You'll wait just a second until I get my copy, please.
Mr. President, we do have a consent list for today, and the consent list is as follows. House Bill 30, Execution of Judgment Liens. House Bill 75, Victim Notification Amendments. House Bill 98, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses. House Bill 109, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. And House Bill 115, Charter Schools Application.
Would anyone like any of the bills removed from this consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 30, House Bill 75, House Bill 98, House Bill 109, House Bill 113, and House Bill 115. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard excused. Bebout. Aye. Burns. Aye. Case. Aye. Christensen. Aye. Coe. Aye. Cooper. Aye. Dockstader. Aye. Driscoll. Aye. Amrick. Aye. Esquivel. Aye. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson. Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 30, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 30, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 75, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 75, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 98, are there any changes? Case I to conflict. Meyer, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 98, 23 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused, and 1 conflict. House Bill 109, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 109, 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 113, are there any changes?
Schiffer,
aye to no.
Case,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 113, 27 ayes, two noes, one excused. House Bill 115, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 115, 28 ayes, one no, one excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 30, House Bill 75, House Bill 98, House Bill 109, House Bill 113, and House Bill 115 have passed the Senate. Other third reading bills. Senate File 15, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 15, Weed and Pest Control, an act relating to weed and pest control, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are a couple of amendments, and I'd ask the reading clerk to read the first in, please.
Senate file, House Bill 15, third reading amendment number 3 to engross copy, page 11, line 17. I don't have that one.
I think that is this.
I just got it.
Okay. This is the second amendment to
yes.
the bill.
House Bill 15, third reading amendment number 2 to engross copy, page 4, line 5.
And that is the Scott amendment, Senator Scott. Okay. Senator Scott has requested that this amendment number 2 be withdrawn, and seeing no objection, it is so ordered. That amendment has been withdrawn. Now there is a third reading amendment to this House Bill 15, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
House Bill 15, third reading amendment number 3 to engross copy, page 11, line 17.
And now, Senator Scott, would you like to move this amendment? Speak to it, please.
Mr. President, I move amendment number 3 to House Bill 15. Mr. President, recall the discussion from yesterday. Basically, been nervous about this bill all along, and my nervousness was crystallized. I saw a communication that described the situation here. I thought described it accurately. And it said that there's no criminal penalty for having weeds on your property, but there is a civil penalty for not getting along with your weed board. And, Mr. President, that is entirely inappropriate. So what I've come up with is this amendment, which says before they can put a civil penalty on, they have the burden of showing, first, that their proposed remedial action would control the target weed or pest. So you got to prove it can do some good. Second, remedial action would be more cost-effective action and would be more cost-effective than any alternative that the landowner has proposed or has actually adopted and carried out. So, Mr. President, that's trying to give the property owner some ability to control what goes on in his own property, and he doesn't have to do it just the way the Weed and Pest Board says. He can try a different control method if it's going to work or if it's going to be cheaper and achieve the same kind of results. And third, and here's the modification from the one that was talked about yesterday, that the weed and pest to be controlled was at risk of spreading to the land of others in the area. And the point is to keep invasive weeds or pests from spreading from one infestation to surrounding uninfested areas. And, you know, if everybody in the whole community has already got it, you aren't going to do that. The example given was dandelions, which may not be the best world's best example because they're not on the list, but it's the kind of thing where it's endemic to everybody. Or, for instance, if you're going to decide that a rabbit was a pest, we've got rabbits everywhere. And what the effect of this amendment does is that if you're going to impose a penalty, it's going to be for something real and not just because you're not getting along with the weed and pest. Now, it's been my experience with dealing with the one up in Natrona County that currently they're perfectly reasonable, perfectly confident you can work with them. And there's no problem. But you all know that rural areas are capable of getting feuds, capable of people ganging up on somebody, and capable, I have seen on occasion years ago, a board that was essentially a bunch of busybodies trying to run everybody else's operation. And that's not appropriate. You know, we do have some respect for private property in this state, and we should. And I think with this, there are some sideboards, if you will, on the actions of the weed and pest folks that are appropriate and prevent abuses. And I understand that they don't like it. That's what I've been told. I'm not surprised what government agency does like being told there's some limitations on your powers. So with that, Mr. President, I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, rising against the amendment, there has been some opposition, but it's much broader than just the proponents for this bill. And what we find out when we try to craft these things is to protect those private property rights. But oftentimes when we do that, we have to ensure that we don't infringe upon the private property rights of the next-door neighbor. So we can go overboard on occasions. In talking to the proponents, they feel there's some information in here that certainly needs to be explored. And they want full accountability to not only their constituents, but the landowners, and they are appointed by the county commissioners. Along those lines, what we're really asking for now is to let the broader individuals that are going to be affected by this, the adjacent landowners, the other agriculture organizations, an opportunity to participate and determine what those sideboards are. They've expressed an interest in being able to work on this and come back and look at it again. But I think we need to provide equal protection under the law. I'm not convinced at this point in time by passing this amendment that we've had a broad enough discussion from all the entities that are going to be affected by this. And I think we need to be careful of the unintended consequences.
Other discussion? Senator Geis.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment, I'd ask you to defeat this amendment, and we'll take this under an interim study this summer and come up with the right kind of section we want in this section 109 in the weed and pest law.
Senator Driscoll, then we'll get to Senator Tennant.
I'm strongly in favor of this amendment. I've been there, done that. This is a phenomenal amendment. Wish I'd been bright enough to bring it way further ahead. I can tell you that virtually every landowner will appreciate it in the state. Addressing the great senator from Bags, it does give due process. That's exactly what it does. It does not stop weed and pest councils from doing their business. They're still allowed to do full enforcement action. This gives them the full rights they had underneath it. The only thing it does, if you read, it says, in proceeding to propose a fine or penalty for any failure to perform a remedial requirement ordered by a district board, the control of weed and pest in any infested area, the district board shall have the burden of proving. And this puts it on them to tell why the weed problem is on the private property owner. That the proposed remedial action would control the passed. All that says is, please tell us how you're proposing to do it. It's not saying we're not going to do it. It says, how is your proposal going to do this? Second, the remedial action would be a cost-effective action and would be more cost-effective than alternative action proposed or adopted by the landowner. That tells me, as a landowner, I can stand up and say, I think this may be a better way. Please take a chance and look at it. It doesn't say you have to do that. It says you will listen to me do that. So you can still say, I don't think your deal's good. We're still going to go on to the process. Third, the weed and pest to be controlled was at risk of spraying land to others in the area. That just says that if it's not going to spread anywhere, you can still take it to enforcement, but I've got a chance to say, why not? Now, I'm going to tell you why this is really, really important to pass this. My ranch is known as the Spurge Ranch in Wyoming. It was covered with leafy spurge. My dad actually was probably the forerunner of the weed and pest bill. Came down, lobbied it. Legislature gave a lot of money to treat leafy spurge in the state of Wyoming. It was probably the first designated individual species that came in. It was designated for one purpose, to treat leafy spurge, not spotted knapweed, not other stuff. They passed it. A lot of money came in, and we thought we'd hit a home run. Sprayed thousands of acres, tore it on, killed lots of trees. Found out it wasn't working for us. Worked with our local weed and pest board. I came in and started running the ranch. I said, I would like to run sheep and goats. Our board said, no, that's not, it's not an effective process. We continued to kill numbers and numbers of trees, treating under their threat of enforcement so that we could make what they thought was a great program. Flash forward 25 years. We haven't sprayed for 15 years. Spurge is gone. We had an alternative action. I'm telling you, we need this tool, and we need it now to be able to do it. It doesn't stop enforcement. If you got a neighbor that's got $1 million crop alfalfa seed and there's Canada thistle next door, this doesn't stop. It doesn't give him the ability to stop that weed and pest board. It gives him the ability to say, maybe I want to pull it because I got something going. And as long as he can justify it, and if it goes to the actual board, if when you go to the next layer up in the law, when it goes there, if they agree with the weed and pest board, the rancher still is gone. So I really encourage you to take a long look at this. These guys, for a long time, say it's my way or the highway. Give private landowners a chance to say, look at my way. It's not saying my way is the only way. It's saying look at it and give us a chance. I encourage you guys to look hard and vote for it.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this amendment because without this amendment, what you have, since the gentleman from over in the Devil's Tower area, his father came down here and helped put this together and it's grown, now you have an agency that comes to you and says, I'm with the government and I'm here to help you. With this amendment, you can get into the process. Without this amendment, you just have to depend on them to help you.
Senator Schiff.
Mr. President, I too rise in favor of this amendment. Remember, folks, that these are appointed boards, and in almost every area of the state, these are tax-supported. They have lots of resources. But what this does is open the door to say, come in and look at things. Give us an opportunity to try new things and different things. Let's not just get out the old sprayer and start going. And I would also suggest to the Senate, you've heard an offer by the chairman of the Ag Committee to put this on his interim schedule. I think that's a great thing. I think this amendment provides the fundamental guidance that will help an interim study. And I urge you to support this amendment.
Any further discussion in regard to this amendment? Question being called. Question before us is in regard to third reading amendment number 3, House Bill 15. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. There are no further amendments. We are now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 15 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall this bill pass? Chief Clerk will please call the roll. House Bill 15, I'm sorry. House Bill 15.
Barnard excused. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 15, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the Senate, House Bill 15 has passed the Senate. House Bill 68, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 68, Violent Felony Definition Expansion and Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses, sponsored by Representative Buchanan. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Perkins, would you like the opportunity to speak to this bill?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you for the opportunity. House Bill 68... I would ask that we lay this back for one more reading, for give the body an opportunity to kind of think about it and examine it, and an opportunity to come with some amendments. And if I may speak to this before you rule on that request.
Go ahead and speak to it, and then we'll make our ruling.
What this bill did, obviously, was expanded the definition of violent felonies. And we came in, and I came in with a, if you remember, I came in with a committee of the whole men. We added a significant number of crimes to the violent felony list. And before this went through, I wanted to have the opportunity for you to understand what it is you're voting for and maybe understand what the expansion of those definitions did so that you might have an opportunity to come back in on third reading and maybe strip out some of the ones that I added or some of the ones that are in there if you think that it's gone too far. Because I just felt that there was a little bit of bewilderment about what the effect of this definition expansion did. So if I can just go through with those. It comes in definitions, and if you go into, in some places, a violent felony becomes a definition or an element of a crime. For example, if it's in a terroristic threat, if someone threatens you or a family member with anything that constitutes a violent felony, then that's a terroristic threat. Another example is in the use possession of a firearm by a person convicted of felony offenses. So we have, there's federal law, there's also state law that says if you've convicted certain felonies, in this case violent felonies, you can't possess a firearm. So the effect of expanding that list is if you're convicted of one of the crimes on the expanded list, you can't, you're going to be able to carry a firearm. Also, there's in the habitual criminal definitions, we have what's called the big habitual criminal and the little, the big and the little. One of them is for a 10-year felony. If you're convicted of a felony, two previous felonies, you were subject to an additional 10 years. If a third felony, you're actually subject to life imprisonment. And so in that habitual criminal definition, one of the things we're talking about is conviction of one of those as of a violent felony. That goes into that definition. So if you're convicted of a violent felony, it has further ramifications when you're on the habitual criminal definitions. Also, restoration of rights. You can't, in restoration of rights under 713.105, you can't have committed a violent felony and have your rights restored. Under 713.301, there's an addicted offender accountability program. That's a program where ultimately under certain felonies, you can suspend all or part of a sentence and put them into a substance abuse treatment program. And one of the things that happens on that is whether or not you're a qualified offender, whether you're eligible for this program. Conviction of a violent felony makes it a rebuttable presumption that you are not a qualified offender. So it doesn't mean you can't be in this program, but there's a presumption that you're not going to be eligible with the list of felonies as they're now expanded. Also, it also affects use of deadly force. We have a statute that guards or provides for when private company detention officers can use deadly force, and one of those things is to protect themselves or others from the commission of a violent felony. Just a couple more. There are also some confidentiality with respect to juvenile records. Generally, juvenile records are confidential and not subject to disclosure. However, under certain circumstances, if the juvenile has committed a violent felony, then sometimes under certain circumstances, that confidentiality can be breached, or you can look at the records. Also, there are certain types of offenses that are not expunged from juvenile offenders. So when they get to be age 18, you can have your juvenile record expunged. One of those that are not expunged when you turn 18 are not eligible for expungement are violent felonies. And the last two are when the name of the juvenile can be revealed for statistical purposes. And when it's a violent felony, the name of the juvenile can be revealed to the whoever gathering that statistical information. And the last one has to do with sanction levels for juveniles who are adjudicated delinquent. If they're adjudicated delinquent having committed one of the violent felony list, then the sanctions are steeper and higher for those juveniles. So that's the effect, Mr. President, of having that expanded definition. If you think that's gone too far, you want to see that list, I'll be happy to share it with you and give you one more day to think about whether or not all the crimes that are on that list, whether in the original bill or my amendment, are really deserve to be there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I believe the request was that this be laid back, and we'll go to Senator Scott before we do anything.
Mr. President, may I request that list, and I presume that's the list of, well, I'm not presuming, there's a list of the crimes that are being added as violent felonies, and there's a list that you just read of the way violent felonies are used. My request is, if we lay this back, if that list could be, those lists could be circulated.
Okay. And I see a nod to the affirmative from the sponsor. Any other discussion in regard to House Bill 68? Request being that this bill be laid back until third reading on Monday. Seeing no objection, so ordered, House Bill 68 has been laid back. House Bill 117, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 117, Data Processing Services Center Tax Exemption, and Act Relating to Sales and Use Taxes, sponsored by Representative Illoway, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read in this first amendment at this time.
House Bill 117, third reading amendment number 1, to engross copy, page 1, line 6.
Senator Schiffer, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 117. Mr. President, what I bring to you is the culmination of a number of fine amendments that didn't get in the bill. And Mr. President, this amendment is honed down to where it does, I think, what's needed to be done. Mr. President, it does a couple things. First of all, in lines 10 and 11, and part of 12, it requires the Department of Revenue to collect the numbers, what would have been collected, the taxes that would have been collected, so we can track just what, just how much money we are leaving out there for these folks to benefit us. The second thing it does is it asks the business council, who are the job experts in this state, to come in and do an analysis. They're going to report to the Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Interim Committee and the Revenue Committee. Every 4 years, there's no sense having this year by year. Let's look at it as the industry grows and develops and spreads throughout the state. The council will have access to the total tax figures, not on an individual basis. That will not be identifiable. The number of jobs created and the impact by the utilization of this. Let's let those great thinkers over there exercise their great thinking. The report shall evaluate the cumulative effects, and it goes into three specific categories. History of employment, are we going up, are we going down? And it's classified by that, the people that know how to work on these things. In terms of number of employees, full and part-time, and looks at the turnover, what I'm trying to get at there, the thing we're looking at, are we providing jobs for the people that we're training at our community colleges and university? Is it actually working? And finally, a comprehensive history of the taxes paid. We all know that occasionally these companies come in and appeal taxes. What we'd like to know is just where we're at on this. It does an evaluation. One, it'll tell us the total dollars. Does an evaluation. Is it effective? The four-year scan, I think, gives them time to get situated and be part of our industrial complex in Wyoming. And I ask for your support on the bill, on the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I rise to first express a general concern. We are hanging an ornament on this thing, and I haven't been able to analyze what kind of a burden is this placing on the companies coming in. Is it a significant paperwork burden or a simple one? And then I have a couple of questions about the amendment. First, Mr. President, I can't see why you need both single I and double I at the bottom of the page. They seem to me to be basically getting at the same set of numbers, and considerable duplication may be looked at in slightly different forms. I don't understand why you need both of them. And on three little I, comprehensive history of taxes paid to the state of Wyoming, including any property taxes paid. Most, Mr. President, is there a technical defect in the amendment drafting there? Because most of the property taxes, I believe, are paid to the counties, and then they distribute them. And the question I've got, for those that know more about this sort of thing than I do, is this worded properly to get what we're trying to get at?
Other questions of the sponsor, Senator Coe?
Well, Mr. President, just another question also. I thought I heard the good sponsor of the amendment use the word shall, but if I read it properly, I think in paragraph A it says it's discretionary if the Department of Revenue requests this information. Is that correct?
Other questions of the sponsor? Other questions before the sponsor takes his final shot? Seeing none, Senator Schiffer, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good questions. And I'll take care of the last, first, and first, last. The if is put there on purpose. They can request that. In actual fact, they may not even need to request it. They may have those figures already, and I don't want them sending more paper out than what we need. In terms of the concern over subparagraphs 1 and subparagraphs 2, subparagraph 1, the NAICS, that's going directly, that's the code for the computer, and I'm going to call them computer techs, just because I don't know exactly, they're the guys that work on this stuff. You know, we could call them geeks, but I don't think that's proper either. But they're the guys that know about it. We're honing in on that. And as I mentioned, currently at the university, we are training these type of people. They're numerical engineers or whatever they are, but they're the guys that make these black boxes work. And we're really pushing it. We want to know, is it working? The second one just goes to general employees. You know, the things like electricians, and understand when these people say a maintenance person, that's a master electrician. I mean, that is You see what I'm saying? It's not like the, it's not like guys like me that cut grass. It's a master electrician. He's a maintenance guy. And we want to know about that because that has a real impact in the people we train at our community colleges and all those. So I want to address that issue also. That's why it's broken out in two different places. The third concern, and Mr. Chairman, in some industries, sometimes when an industrial complex comes in, there'll be a great deal of discussion, for example, about all taxes paid and what's going to happen. And we hear a great many projections on what the taxes are that's going to be paid. Property taxes, I'll just use them, and they're kind of, I just put them at random. This state has seen where a very large industrial company, a foreign company, by the way, came in and under penalty of perjury said, these are the property taxes we're going to pay on this industrial complex. Now, before the ink was dry, they appealed it, and they're paying less than what they promised under perjury. But we don't want to get into that. Things change, and they should change. Foreign companies do strange things. Sometimes the proponents don't talk to the tax guy. They ought to have them on speed dial, for goodness sake. But they don't. So we need to keep track of that. We've had experience with foreign companies, and it's always good to keep an eye on the foreigners. I urge for your support of this amendment.
The question before us, regard to third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 117, all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. House Bill 117. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Barnard excused. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 117, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 117 has passed the Senate. What's your pleasure, Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has carried. We'd like for Senator Hicks to take the chair.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for your consideration is House Bill number 9. The reading clerk, will you read it into the read the file?
House Bill 9, Department of Insurance Licensure Revisions, an act relating to insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure?
Chairman?
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 9, Insurance Licensing. There's a Standing Committee Amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
House Bill 9, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 8, line 10.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Standing Committee Amendment to House Bill 9, and for an explanation of the bill and the amendment, I would yield to the good Senator from Laramie County.
Senator Johnson.
Bill, instead of 69 pages, this is 11, so there is a difference. The committee spent the interim working on, at the request of the insurance department, these licensure revisions just to keep everything going where it belongs. So I'll start and run through it quite quickly. In Section 1, this section requires licensees to notify the department if they will be using an assumed name. Many businesses use a doing business as a DBA as a name alternative to formal corporate name. This allows the department to better track business entity licenses. In Section 2, it amends the following sections.
Senator Johnson.
Yes?
We do not have a quorum on the floor at this time. Could you?
I will be patient.
Senators, could we please have some representation back on the floor?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't realize when I said the word division, it drove the senator, a revision, it drove the senators out.
I would caution you to be careful in the future, Senator Johnson.
I am properly chastised, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so very much.
We do have a quorum now, Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you. For you all that missed my brilliant explanation previously to this, tough. Section 2 amends the following sections of the Wyoming Insurance Code, 26101, little a, Romanet 20, definition of person, eliminates reference to service representatives. There are no current service representatives licensed, and they've been absorbed under the name of agents. Section 26.3.130 is amended to eliminate reference to service representatives. Section 26.4.101, fee scale is amended. First of all, okay, at the top on page 4, we need to make consistent the title of the line of accident and health or sickness or disability. Then we have to add variable life and variable annuities and also another line, credit line. There was no prior reference for fees in these lines of authority. We provide for a continuation fee for non-resident surplus line brokers, adjusters, and consultants to be consistent with the non-resident fees for other license types. And finally, we eliminate the $20 application fee for consultants. They get to pay $100. Section 26.9.201 is amended to reference the amended sections applying to surplus line brokers with respect to continuation of licenses. We're replacing H with B and C in 207. Just to clean things up. In 26.9.202 is amended to eliminate the reference to 26.9.233 fraternal agent licenses as a limited line. Fraternal agents are licensed producers as producers with major lines rather than limited lines of authority. Section 269202 as amended to include reference to rental car agents licensed pursuant to Chapter 50 of the Insurance Code. This reference clarifies that this license type is limited to that line of insurance. 269207, license is amended to include adjusters and surplus line brokers with respect to continuation of these license types. The section is also amended to clarify the penalty for allowing a license to elapse for noncompliance and replying within 12 months. You have to pay for lapsing, and you have to also pay for the next year. Section 269219 is amended to add a provision for allowing a non-resident adjuster to designate a home state with similar licensing requirements to allow for reciprocal licensing and to avoid duplication of regulation. Adjusters aren't licensed in Colorado, so if an adjuster in Colorado wants to have a home in Wyoming, he, she can pass the test and pay the money, or they can do another state out there, and Wyoming will recognize that state. Section 269231 is amended to eliminate reference to service representatives once again. In addition, the section is amended to be consistent in the use of term home state in respect to the continuing education requirements for non-resident adjusters. 2647103 is amended to eliminate reference to service representatives. Section 265102 is amended to require licensure of persons selling rental car insurance to individuals renting motorcycles. That's become a big thing in some parts of the state. And then Section 3, which starts on... page 11, repeals the following. The first one is 261102, et cetera, the definition of service representatives, 269207 H and J, the continuation of licenses for surplus line brokers and adjusters. The continuation of these licenses is addressed in 269207 B. 269208 requiring licensure of service representatives, and 269.22 requiring licensure of insurance marketers. This is another type of license that's been made obsolete, and it's been absorbed by the producer line type. And with that, we have an effective date of July 1, 2011, and I stand ready for questions and would ask you to please vote aye on this most fascinating bill.
Senator Johnson, there is
an amendment. Okay. Amendment number one, Standing Committee Amendment number one, has been moved, if memory serves me. And if we go over to page 8, line 10, as soon as I can get over to page 8, there we go. What we do is we delete resident, and after state, we put in which the adjuster maintains his principal place of residency or principal place of business. We have those both in there because there are states that do not license adjusters. If they want to be reciprocal with Wyoming, they have to be licensed somewhere with equal testing qualifications and equal continuing education qualifications. And this just makes that very clear. So I would ask for your aye vote on Standing Committee Amendment number one.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Johnson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill number 9, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 9 does pass. Back on the bill. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Johnson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises and report that it does so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill number 9, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
Senator Burns, you may have the privilege.
Mr. Chairman, in addition to getting me as a little slice of Sheridan every morning, we were treated to the Sheridan College Corral this morning, and as an extra special treat, up behind me, if they'd stand up, I've got three exchange students here who are exchange students in Sheridan. These students are from the Future Leaders Exchange from the Department of State Scholarships. And there is Almira and Alina from Russia and Nila from Bangladesh. If you'd make, and their host, Donna Shelley. If you'd make them welcome, please.
Next bill for your consideration is, Majority Floor Leader Ross.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet 15 minutes after the noon recess today up in room S18 to consider the following bills. House Bill 260, Industrial Siting Financial Resources. House Bill 93, School Unification Student Council Count Deletion. House Bill 204, Engrossed Patriotism in the Classroom. House Bill 227, Education, Constitution, Instruction, and if time allows, House Bill 144, Engrossed School District Bonds.
Thank you, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 1 Judiciary will meet Monday, February the 14th at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills. House Bill 23, Sex Offender Registration Amendments. House Bill 80, Services of Process in Family Violence and Stalking Cases. That's stalking. And House Bill 28, Child Protection, Shelter, Care, and Initial Hearings. Thank you.
Other announcements? Senator Escobar?
President?
You make that announcement. You certainly may.
And I think I might have made this announcement earlier, but I'll make it again. With us in the balcony are some students, future voters from Pioneer Park, Mrs. Kingster and Mr. Woodard. Am I correct? Yep. Would you join me, fellow senators?
Please welcome
students from Pioneer Park.
Welcome to the Senate. Are there other announcements before we take a break here? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion is carried. We are at recess. Did you want to make a motion? Okay. We are at recess until 2 o'clock. I never know.